Bing bong, Evan Damrell. Welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. I'm Chris Manning. He's Evan Damrell. Today's show, we're going to talk about the Cavs beating the Raptors. We're going to talk about the Cavs going to Madison Square Garden and beating the New York Knicks. And we're going to talk about the Cavs week ahead. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, also available once weekly at WKYC, the local Tegna station in wonderful, sunny Cleveland, Ohio. Big sports weekend, by the way, for Cleveland, Ohio. Check out Locked On Browns for your second listen after you finish making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Support you for supporting us, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Remember, we're free and available on every platform, including Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. We hit over 500 on YouTube. Let's get to 600 this week. Let's do it. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. Let's get into today's show.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Two wins, Evan, for the Cleveland Cavaliers this weekend. One in Toronto where they led for barely over 4 seconds before pulling it out. Another one where they played tight in the first half. Colin Sexton leaves the game with an injury, but then they outscore the Knicks mightily in the third quarter. Fourth quarter gets a little frantic, but they win that quarter by three as well. They go 2-0 on the weekend, 7-4 on the year, 5-3 so far on the road. Kind of funny that the Cavs only played 4 home games so far, considering the season's, you know, we're 11 games in. But Evan, I guess, like, how do you want to do this? We're not going to do the what?
Oh, Chris. What? Silly Chris. The East runs through Cleveland, so it doesn't matter if they're home or
I'm gonna, every I'm gonna, game's a home game. I'm gonna go get Cavaliers. A Tim Hortons donut and salute Tristan Thompson, who is obviously just predicting the future. He's a precog. But Evan, we have two games to talk about, two wins, two things that turn out very differently, turn kind of work themselves out differently, different vibes in these games, so to speak, in a lot of ways. But we're not gonna do our normal awards because this is obviously coming off the weekend. But as far as what stood out to you.
Bruh, we could talk about the Knicks.
Okay,
game.
Do you want to? I'm trying to get to the point where I ask you, do you want to start? Do you want to do this where, like, we talk about both games and sort of weave in and out? Do you want to talk about one game and then go to the other game? What do you want to do?
Let's weave in and out. Let's bob and weave. Let's dip, duck, dodge.
If anyone's watching on YouTube and they're wondering why I just made hand gestures, it's because the queen of the podcast herself, Leanne Manning, just made an unplanned cameo. So.
Oh, well, hello, Leanne. I hope you're doing well.
She's the best wedding. She is the best wedding date there is. That's a fun fact for y'all out there.
I mean, I guess, man, like let's do some broad takeaways. Maybe we get into the nitty gritty of it. Broad takeaways. One, I think Jared Allen is worth every penny of that $100 million the Cavs are paying him. He had 16 and 15 against the Raptors, and he was a big reason on why the Cavs were able to beat Toronto, especially. I mean, Darius Garland was so clutch down the stretch, and he reminded everyone of LeBronto through a clutch client connection. But I mean, Jared Allen also was a huge presence against the Knicks as well. 18 points, 17 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. I mean, no blocks. That's fine. Like, Jared Allen has been so g-dang good. And we've talked about this before. Like, nothing's really certain with this young core for this Cavaliers roster. But Jared Allen feels like a certainty at this point. Like, he is here for the foreseeable future. I think because the Cavs really like him, at least his current regime does. I think if Kobe Altman were to get the axe, I think the next regime would like him as well. He's been so good, and he is the best player, at least on a night-to-night basis, it feels like, at times for this young core. But, I mean, like, there's some pretty good pieces as well, too. But, like,
Jared Allen's have to go to Ricky Rubio, because this Ricky Rubio game on Sunday – comes off the bench, plays 31 minutes, 13 of 19 from the field, 8 of 9 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw, 10 assists against just 4 turnovers, had a steal, incredible shot making, incredible feel for the game, really just like pushed, like sussing out plays by just like probing and kind of trying to make stuff happen. Some fun stats from...
oh, he is.
front of the program, Katie Davidson pointed something out. 66 total threes is how they had the number of threes that Rubio made last year. It also took him 25 games in total before he made 8 threes in total last season. So like this was like a Rubio game where it's just like I was like watching this and like this game gets close in the fourth and it's tight and like it's a little chaotic and it's like I don't know how the Cavs are going to handle this because like they're playing a certain amount of guys and like there's, you know, this wasn't like a good Jetty game. This was a bad Darius defensive game, although he did some other stuff well. And like this is just like a lot of like, can Mobley, Allen, and Rubio like suss them out here? Because it feels like if you're playing the big picture, it would feel like a waste to me to lose the Ricky Rubio game where he makes 8 threes and they won. And like the Cavs just beat a team that might be one of the best 6 teams in the Eastern Conference, like on the road, and like that it was impressive. Yeah, it was impressive.
And it's a Tom Thibodeau defensive team too. I'm gonna follow up your takeaway because you really did.
I just
follow
we
up
had
mine,
to get
so
to Rubio because hurt. I have. That was like an out-of-body experience. Kevin Love is like – I don't even know where Kevin Love is right now, considering like he's in the protocols.
He's probably in New York
getting
hanging
like
out with Vestri.
Getting Michelin star meal dinners like sent to him, but he's like live-tweeting this game. I don't know. I don't have that much money to know that. He's giving Angel Grey – not good question suggestions from Kevin Love, but like, you know, like kind of cliche. Like step up your game, Kevin, really. Like come on. Like do a little – expect better. But, you know, they were there. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, thank goodness for Ricky Rubio is all I'm going to say. I'm going to ask you a question as we head into the break, but I'm going to talk about this a little bit. We got time. I know, but I like to talk. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of my voice sometimes, weirdly enough, because that's the biggest reason why I never do a podcast in the first place. Evan Damrell's words to Chris Manning when we first tried to bring him on Locked On Cavs. But Ricky Rubio, thank goodness for him. Like, I pointed this out. Kind of. This isn't a shot at Colin Sexton, but he was hurt tonight with a knee injury. He banged knees in the first half, and he was out in the second half, obviously. Hopefully, he's okay. I think, by all accounts, from things I've kind of gathered while just not doing media tonight, I think he'll be fine, but they're going to kind of just have a wait-and-see approach, see how he responds the following day, because when you bang knees with someone, it hurts like a mofo. So, see where that goes there. So, like, he's been wildly inconsistent so far for the Cavs, I'd say. Like, there's nights where he's on, like the game against the Hawks, where he was kind of playing a little bit too unselfishly at times, looking at the pass too much, where you just more so needed him to keep getting buckets. And we have annoying conspiracy Cavs theorists tagging us about it. So, it's just like the Cavs are winning in such impressive ways where they don't have to reliantly lean on Colin Sexton scoring. And sometimes it comes from unexpected places. And tonight it was Ricky Rubio who is a three-point assassin in Madison Square Garden. Like, that was just a fun game. Like you said, it was an out-of-body experience. I think Darius Garland hitting two clutch three-pointers down the stretch.
Can I ask you to put a pin in the Darius shot-making stuff? Because I have been, ever since he hit a certain three against Toronto, I have been eagerly waiting to discuss this. Because, like, there is a big development happening with Darius Garland.
Real cat. Shouts to Dave Zavak. Real Cavs fans.
David's also still being a grump about like Jetty Osman and like Jetty. David, just chill. Just like.
I asked for the apology for him. I would like to say you were right. I was wrong. Jetty didn't have a good game tonight, but overall he's been.
The apology form is also
pretty good this year.
It's
like
a bad meme.
Oh yeah, it is.
I mean, but I'm just Ish Smith making our boy Ish Smith, Cleveland Ish Smith making shots out here. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to, Evan, but if not, I will burn your eyeballs with it after. Here's a quick stat I want to hit before we go into break. That ESPN stats and info. Just okay.
Oh, I have my question.
Evan Mobley, the first Cavs rookie since Kyrie Irving in 2012 to have 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game, and Ricky Rubio. He's the sixth player in NBA history to have 35 points. But no jokes about Kyrie. I don't want to go down there.
I was just going to say, Evan Mobley won.
Glad you didn't go the other way.
Go ahead.
Ricky Rubio became the sixth player in league history. 35 points, 10 assists off of the bench since starters have been recorded. Really, really just fun. Ask me your question.
So do you think the Cavs won the Taurean Prince trade? Because a lot of people were poo-pooing it at the time because they traded a wing player for Ricky Rubio. Like, in a vacuum, you and I were a fan of the trade because it made sense to back up Darius. But, like, here's Taurean's stats. In 8 games played for Minnesota, he's averaging 15 minutes per night, 3.1 points on 23.5% shooting, 2.3 rebounds, 0.8 assists, 0.4 steals, and 0.8 turnovers per game, and 1.6 fouls. I feel pretty comfortable in saying up to this point, like the Cavs got Ricky Rubio for a pretty good price. And somebody like, I think Cavs France pointed this out. This all started with trading Dante Exum in the Bucks first round pick, which I forget what it became, but it doesn't matter at this point. They went to Houston. And in the end, they end up with Jared Allen and Ricky Rubio. Like Kobe Altman is pretty good at some asset management, I'd say.
Yes.
Do you agree with both of my takes there?
People that are, if, here's the thing. If you're not watching on YouTube, you aren't getting the perk of me already answering this question. And
well, I was reading stats and had another tab open.
The answer is yes.
I like the props.
Yeah, you know, at least like sticky. I'm a big pen and sticky note guy for like everything, but
I'll get like a Doug Dimmadome hat that just like completely goes off Butler screen.
There we go, Evan. Let's go on a break. Good.
How about the Jimmy Butler?
Let's talk after the break. Let's talk about Darius Garland and his shot making, because this is a key thing that we're seeing, and I'm gonna get a little nerdy with it from a basketball sense. But first, Evan, we got to tell everyone about our friends at Prize Picks, which is a great way to play daily fantasy, and it is the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offer all the superstar players as well as the bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. So, like, maybe you bet on Evan Mobley or you did some Evan Mobley, Ricky Rubio DFS stuff and for Sunday, and you won big. You should have done that. All of your users that deposit with the promo code NBA receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it is just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So again, don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is also brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite TV shows, you're watching Evan Mobley highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend log in to watch Ricky Rubio torch the Knicks. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and the great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your life live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so that you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Ricky Rubio shooting so many three-pointers may melt your device, so you might have to replace it. They don't guarantee replacement on that. Anyhow,
all right, Evan, let's talk about that. Well, any other Knicks thoughts before I move on to Darius? Because I feel like this could take up some time.
The Knicks have lost 3 of their last 4 games since they started playing Bing Bong.
No, that, so that, that is too iconic. Sound?
It's so funny.
The funniest part of that is the guy like making insane mouth noises before that. Like, that's actually incredible.
Yeah,
it's up there with the fact that
it really is.
That Cavs commercial they did that has Just What I Am playing in it, where they found the most jacked guy they could to wear like the Colin Sexton jersey. I just found that funny too.
Well, I mean, it's fitting because Colin Sexton allegedly plate pushed from Atlanta back to Cleveland, He himself is jacked, but. No, not really any other key takeaways. Evan Mobley's so good. You want to share that Kyrie Irving stat comparing Evan Mobley more time for the people who maybe skipped through it,
but Evan Mobley, first Cav since 2012 with Kyrie, 25 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds in a game.
So good.
He's the absolute front runner of Rookie of the Year right now. And
how do you feel about the Rick and Mobley nickname for Ricky Rubio and Evan Mobley?
It doesn't project onto like those characters in a way that I find would be helpful, but you know.
Evan Mobley has a really, really, really dark side that he doesn't want to share.
But Evan, so Darius Garland this weekend hit some shots that are among the most encouraging shots he has hit as a professional basketball player. Okay. Number one, let's go back to Toronto on Friday, a game we didn't talk about, haven't talked about yet, but he hits the clutch free throws. The Cavs are not winning this game for most of this game. And, you know, just, you know, kind of a tough performance. They have to come all the way back. They're, you know, obviously down Okoro. Love's not playing still. He was the hero of that game. He was the absolute, to me, hero of the game. He also, you know, he had another one of these pull-up threes late in the shot clock earlier in the week against the – this was against the Blazers on Wednesday when he hit in the third quarter. There's a shot into this Toronto game. There's about 8 minutes to go in the fourth. It's him, Sexton, Dean Wade, Allen Mobley, the starting lineup. Sexton had dribbled, throws a pass over to Wade in the corner. Wade swings it to Garland. So Garland's above the right break, dribbles in. Off the catch, gets past the defender who lunged too far. I think OG created. And instead, he could have passed to Sexton, who theoretically might have been open on the other wing for a three. But the Raptors were kind of in good position to kind of recover there. He just sticks the three. He just steps into his three and sticks it. That is high-level shot-making. That is the right kind of selfish. Then you get to Sunday. Mm-hmm. He has four or five from three in this game, including he has one coming off of a screen, which is nice to see. It's something he's doing a lot less this year. It's like half the number of off the catch threes this year, off ball threes. Hits one where he, I believe Julius Randle's defending him on a switch, and he pulls the ball back out from the free throw line, and he spaces him out, he stretches him, and he hits a rainbow three over Julius Randle, hits the three. Unbelievable stuff. Later in this, he hits another one where he just is just crafting and creating, and he's finding this. This wasn't even like a good game for him. This wasn't a game where like he passed all that well. Like Rubio did a lot of the creation. Mobley did some really nice creation out of the short roll. It was the worst defensive game I think he might have had played all year, just based on the first watch through. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But the shot making we're seeing from him, or at least once or twice a game, he's making these high leverage, difficult shots. This is the promise of Darius Garland. This is the promise of like this guy might be able to be something really, really spectacular. And we're seeing it right now. And if this holds, buddy, the Darius Garland stock is the stocks are going up, 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 up.
Yeah, my Spencer Dinwiddie take is kind of evaporating.
He came off of a double drag. He came off double drag. Okay, talk. I gotta call myself because
Chris Manning's showing everyone his vinegar strokes right now. If you know, you know. But yeah, my Spencer Dinwiddie takes kind of evaporating in real time. Like, I'm super stoked with how well Darius is playing. I know Jason Lloyd made the pot shot of saying that the Cavs have such a strong foundation going for or launch pad to build off of with Garland, Mobley, and Allen. But he's like not obviously omitting Sexton from that tweet was probably intentional on Jason's part because he really does have an axe to grind with Colin Sexton. But Darius Garland's really freaking good. Like Chris pointed out, like there's times he's a little too passive. There's times he's a little too unselfish. He's looking to get his teammates involved. I mentioned it reminds me a lot of Kyrie Irving during the one Mike Brown reunion year where Kyrie's very methodical in his approach where for the better part of the first half, he looks to get his teammates going. So it's a little easier for him. So when it's time for him to take over or it's time for him to bail out the Cavs or it's time for Spencer Hawes or Luol Deng to break a three-pointer, Kyrie can take that shot and kind of carry the Cavs. Hopefully either to a win or a respectable loss or a frustrating loss if it's to the Phoenix Suns. College Evan is screaming internally again. But Darius gives me a lot of those vibes. Like Dave is a grump, yes, but he wasn't too far off in saying like it gives you some Kyrie Irving vibes at times. Again, not a fair comparison because Kyrie Irving was incredible during Cleveland, and again, so fortunate that
they do not win a title without Kyrie Irving. It's just a fact.
Exactly, and it's completely unfair to give him Steph Curry comparisons. I think the Dame Lillard comparisons are unfair. Like, I think Nick Van Exel is still like his absolute basement at this point.
I just kind of think he's Darius Garland. I just think we need to, yeah.
He's Darius Garland, but like I'm saying, if you're trying to draw historical comparisons or trying to like, you know, because I really like J. Kyle Mann's approach. Like, he doesn't compare him to one player. Like, there's just like a nebulous of players you surround him with. Let's see, I'm like, okay, you can kind of see a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Darius is just really interesting. And like Chris said, this is the point I'm getting to where he's methodical in his approach lately, where he's trying to get everyone involved. Darius's assist numbers are consistent. His playmaking is really good. His vision is incredible. He sees plays as they happen in real time. He sees them before they happen. His on-court chemistry with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, the two of the key pieces in this rebuild is really good to start the season. But like Chris said, we're not seeing the passivity carry through the entire game. We're starting him to see him be selfish at the right times and take those threes. Like I wanted to talk about against the Knicks, like, yeah, Ricky Rubio put the Knicks on ice for sure. But it was a little close up until about 3.5-4 minutes left in the game. And Darius hit 2 3-pointers down the stretch. It just kind of blew the game apart and really just drove it home for the Cavs that they're going to win this one. And I don't think, and like, I think like the Knicks are a well-coached team. This is, again, a Tom Thibodeau coach defense. Like they're going to respect Ricky Rubio if he's hitting threes and kind of prevent that from happening. Darius kind of sagging off that and playing off of Rubio's playmaking as well is really helpful for this team too. So I still need to see more of it, but it's been about 5, 6, almost 7 games I'm seeing it now. I think the 10 game mark is a good place to really evaluate it. Like we're going to do some roster evaluation stuff this week, if I remember the calendar correctly. So like I'm pretty excited to see where Darius Garland is headed. Like he has a very fun skill set that does a lot of things for me because he's stupid efficient too. That's the other thing. Like he's 4 or 5 from three. Like he makes his 3-pointers count. If he eventually upticks his shot taking a little bit, maybe he's a little bit more selfish, that's where I'll get really bullish on him. But like my expectations were pretty dang high for him. Like I wrote a huge long piece about how my expectations were high for him. It just keeps getting more and more like exploring, more excitement keeps building.
We'll come back to this later in the week, but I think there's like an art. I was looking through some of his shot charts and his numbers and thinking and looking at it. I was talking about it with a couple people who are frankly smarter than me. And I think that there's a chance that there's like going to be a Garland like scoring bump in some ways based on sort of how his shots, what kind of shots he's taking right now. Secondly, I'm going to just run through this double drag set real quick. So in case people haven't listened to me talk about this before, don't know what it is because you know more about basketball because I'm a dummy. Double drag is basically a set where you're setting a staggered screen on one wing. You're going to usually have the big. The Cavs have run it with two bigs, where like of a big pop, and then a center roll. In this case, it was Jared Allen.
They run it with three bigs, actually.
The version that they most run is the two. But I'm saying in terms of like actually involving the action, the double drag is two bigs or two players, but the Cavs run it with two bigs, like Kevin Love and Jared Allen. This one was Darius Garland as the ball handler. Jared Allen is the roll man, and Jetty Osmond pops out as like the potential like three option, the third option if there's not a shot there. I honestly, Evan, cannot tell you how many times I've seen any Cav in that situation like take the pull up three. Garland took it and stroked it, and if that's another way to stretch everything out, like that is just like the confidence to do that, to make that kind of pull up three is like really, really, really encouraging. And it has not been as much of a staple of the Cavs offense this year, that roller kind of action with other guys in the corners, but it has been something where they have used it a lot last year to some success, and they're getting a little more creative with it. And the Cavs also ran a lot of like empty corner pick and roll with Dylan Windler, even like Lamar Stevens or Rubio with like Garland off of him with Windler on the other wing and like one guy in the dunker spot. Like they're actually getting a little more creative on their offense. But we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's coming ahead this week and what's some other little news and notes around the Cleveland Cavaliers. But first, all right, got to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. Evan, do you love Thanksgiving?
I do, man. And, you know, this year I might be hosting a little, like, Friendsgiving get-together, and when the desserts come out, I might have to put some Built Bars front and center for everyone instead of just the traditional Thanksgiving dessert options.
A slice of pie has up to 300 calories, and that's on the low end before you get into the whipped cream and all of that. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and then they 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. So replace that coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. There are lots of good flavors to replace any pie out there. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein. Covered in 100% real chocolate, they're a great option for when you're hungry. And if Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at a family gathering or a Friendsgiving at Evan's case, or if maybe you're running a 5K with a family member or a friend and you want to give them a good snack after the fact, maybe bring two in your car instead of just bringing one for yourself. There are new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. And remember, there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. Evan, any final weekend thoughts before we wrap up here? Is there any, like, Knicks thoughts? Is there any Raptors thoughts? Anything?
Nothing at all. I'm just so happy the Cavs. That's why I'm all smiles right now.
Okay, I'm going to break the third wall. I did something. I knocked some stuff over with the court.
Hold on, I'm tweeting right now. You're going to release the Manning cut for our listeners. Don't worry.
Only if someone gives me like $1,000, honestly. Anyway.
Computers go both ways, my man. I can download it.
You do.
It too.
I will come to us extremely.
For those listening, I just tweeted it, but Chris hit his mic, and I watched his whole setup just fall apart in real time in the middle of it.
Look, honestly, the fact that I'm not like a pile of goo right now is because shouts to my therapist. And my wife just asked me if I'm okay. I am okay. I just knocked some things over. We're fine. We moved on, and it's an easy fix. But Evan, here's my only other takeaway from the weekend. I really just want to see this Cavs team healthy. But I also still want to see Dylan Windler play basketball, because he's had a couple good games in a row. Even if there's a couple moments where the athleticism's not great, but he's making shots and he's hitting spot up threes from a couple feet beyond the arc. And I'm extremely here for that. You know, I cannot get over it.
Yeah, no, it's Dylan Windler's been really fun. He kind of laid an egg against Toronto. And like I said, when he had that big game against Portland, I think the luxury of having Dylan Windler is, one, the Cavs can go small if he's healthy. Like, that's a huge thing for them, because I know JB is hell-bent determined on going big. That's why he's starting Dean Wade. He said that pregame against the Knicks tonight. He's like, the only reason Dean Wade is starting, because I think it's mostly for Evan Mobley to have familiarity of playing with two big men on the floor the start games. I think it also helps Darius and Colin too, but and I guess in theory Dean Wade does provide spacing, not as well as Lauri Markkanen or even Kevin Love does, but alas, he still does. Maintain your composure, Evan. But Dylan Windler kind of laid a stinker against Toronto, and I think the luxury of him kind of playing his way back into shape is JB can pull the hook on him real quick and maybe lean more on Jetty. Lamar Stevens got some minutes. I think Lamar played really well against Toronto in the second half, and he definitely earned those minutes, even though against New York wasn't super great against the Knicks, but he played well. So it is what it is. I just hope Dylan Windler can stay healthy, and I fully agree with both of your takes. I wanted to see this Cavs team fully healthy. Because shouts to friend of the show, Jimmy Longo. He said this is the most fun he's had covering this team because the vibes are so good, within and surrounding the organization right now. I want to see this good vibes Cavs squad at full strength, just to kind of get it a real feel. There might be some lumps and growing pains, especially with Isaac Okoro, who's been out for now 7 games with a hamstring injury. But I'm intrigued to see what this Cavs looks like when it's hitting on all cylinders. JB Bickerstaff's coaching this team really well and deserves flowers.
Yeah, I think this is, short history, we'll see if this sustains, but I think probably the best coaching job he's done, frankly. It's definitely his best job so far with the Cavs. Okay, but let's hit a couple quick points. Games this week for the Cleveland, there's Wizards at home. They get 2 days off. I think I needed 2 days off.
That is going to be a highly anticipated matchup. The Wizards are red hot right now.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I don't want to say the word playoffs, but it's theoretically kind of an important game. In that
there's play-in implications for this game.
I mean, all of these games are. If the long stretch of it sort of means that need to be there. That game is going to be fun. Are there any other games this week that you're kind of looking forward to from a Cavs perspective? Is that the game you're most looking forward to as we look at the slate that we got this week?
In terms of overall Cavs perspective, talent wise, yeah, that's the game I'm definitely looking forward to most. Mark Stein shared it. I'm going to try and pull up the statistics as I talk here, because I'll admit I don't watch a lot of Wizards tape, but they're playing very, very, very well this year. Sorry, thought about the mic thing.
This would be a game where if Isaac Okoro could defend Bradley Beal, I would feel a little better about this,
In their last 10, the Wizards are 7-3. Bradley Beal's averaging 24-5-5. Kyle Kuzma's averaging 14-10. Spencer Dinwiddie is averaging 14-6 and 16-4-6. Montrezl Harrell off the bench is averaging 18-9 on 64% shooting. Like, that's going to be an interesting task for Mobley and Allen. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is shooting 40% from three. And Rui Hachimura and Thomas Bryant have not played a single game for Washington this year. They're playing really well. It's a fun game for Jamal Mosley to come back to. I just might have butchered the coach name there.
No, Jamal is the Magic coach, former Mavericks assistant. But then Wes Unseld Jr. is the Washington Wizards coach.
Wes Unseld Jr.
Former Nuggets assistant Wes Unseld Jr.
I'm so sorry, but yeah, there we go. So like, that's a good like. The Wizards are kind of a hot team. They are a hot team. The Cavs are red hot right now too. This is going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to the games against Boston because the City Edition uniforms and the City Edition court will make their debut. Like, that'll be aesthetically interesting to look at because I'm pretty high on the City Edition uniforms that I want to see them in person to see how they really look like, to see how they look on the court and everything else, and especially on TV too. If I watch like a replay of it or something like that, because like, I was not high on last year's City Edition uniforms, mm-hmm. and I saw them in person. I'm just like,
well,
they're not as bad as I thought.
This is a good transition.
It should be a fun game.
I was trying to do something. We're gonna figure this out next time. But do you like the? I'm throwing them up on the screen. I don't know if this is from Conrad Burry on Twitter. He did a little tweak of the Cavs City Edition jerseys. Basically, got rid of the logo from the Miracle of Richfield era. And I'll link this in the show notes. People are listening, but there's it went with the first LeBron era Cleveland mm-hmm. across the chest. I actually kind of almost like those better.
I do too. The only reason, and Danny Cunningham kind of pointed this out to us too while we were in the press box before we did our Locked On Now from the stadium seats. I don't think they'd ever really bring back the LeBron era jerseys until LeBron's back, either playing for the organization in some capacity or like as part of an ownership group within the organization in some capacity. Yeah. Like, they make him like the owner mascot for the Cavs. Like, I don't know. I am nostalgic for that look. I think honestly, like Keith, I'm gonna throw it up again. Like, if you do like a quick like breakdown here, like they're pretty similar so far to the navy like alternates that eventually became the away jerseys for the Cavs during that first era. But they're wine, so like I love those uniforms to begin with. So, yeah, huge fan of those. So, but at the same time, like.
Yeah,
the swashbuckling Cavaliers. Yeah, the first logo.
Just one last note before we go: the Cleveland Charge are back in action. We're not necessarily going to cover this stuff in detail on the show. We'll cover it as it need be. Right now, the Cavs are mm-hmm. they're not playing their two way guys of the G League right now. Just they're kind of like Taco Fall played at the end of the Knicks game. But they did have their debut at the Wolfstein Center on Saturday, playing the Motor City Crews, the new Detroit Pistons G League affiliate. Kyle Guy, former Warriors Summer League standout Kyle Guy, had 26 points on 11 of 22 shooting. He also had 8 assists. Saben Lee for the Crews had 42 points, also had 8 assists against just 1 turnover in 35 minutes. The Charge lost this game 140-117. We're outscored by 7 into the fourth quarter and 11 in the first quarter. So those two quarters from a box score perspective, at least kind of did them in for Danger Rose group. Luca Garza also had 24 points and 9 rebounds for the Crews. Elsewhere for Cleveland, Malik Newman had 25 points. You had Balak had 11 points and Justin James had 19 points, had a nice dunk as well in that one. That was a cool highlight clip from that the Charge put on their social. I'll be interested to see how this will be just a thing we check in on every so often. We'll see how Taco Fall is doing. We'll see how RJ Nemhard's doing. The two way guys again did not play in this one, but the G League, Evan, I think just in case people aren't aware, I think is kind of in a kind of a fun spot. I mean, Greg Monroe is back, who's somehow only 29 years old, by the way, is going to be playing with the Capital City Go-Go, the Wizards affiliate. Brandon, he's 29.
You're lying.
Okay. I got this confused. But he's still only 31.
He's 31.
Like, he's still only 31. I would. You could have told me Greg Monroe was 37, and it.
Okay, you know what, Chris? My girlfriend says you're also almost 30, but I correct her and say, no, I'm 28 years old. Let's not age me too much here. There's a clear difference between old and washed like us.
Like Alfonso McKinney, he's playing for the
Mexico it's crazy. City like team. There's a lot of
Brandon Knight, Cavs legend. Brandon Knight is playing for the Sioux Falls Skyforce. The talent level is rising in the G League. Obviously, the G League Ignite is the headliner. That is the developmental wing of this. But you're going to get more guys in the G League, and I think the Denver team has like Lance Stevenson and like some other notable guys on it. So, yeah, weirdly, but I think you're going to get some also more stuff that's kind of fun. And I want to see if the Cavs even have some guys like that have been around the block a little bit. Hustis has been in the league for a while. Malik Newman, Kyle Guy was a very accomplished college player. So we'll see where this goes. But Evan, let's wrap up there before I knock anything else over. Thanks again to Bill Parr, Prize Picks, and DirecTV for sponsoring the show. Everyone, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. We'll be doing that we've mentioned a couple times. We're going to do like the 10-ish games check-in, see where the Cavs are, what we think of them through 10 games, and see kind of what we think is going on here and what we kind of still want to feel like we need to figure out about this team going forward. And then on Wednesday, Evan will be out. So Jordan Zerm from the Checkdown, you may have heard him when I was with him in Summer League and we did some pods together. He's going to come back. We're going to talk about Evan Mobley's progression from Summer League until now and dive into some other Cavs stuff. And he'll probably... hopefully we can record at a point where like we find out where Odell Beckham Jr. is going and his brain breaks in real time. But again, thanks again for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we're free and available on all platforms. And if you want a good second listen, may I suggest Lockdown Fantasy Basketball. It's hosted by the great Josh Lloyd and is the number one fantasy basketball podcast out there. So go check that out. And then check out Lockdown Browns with a good friend of the program, Jeff Lloyd, after that. But until next time, I'm Chris. He's Evan. Make sure you don't trip over cords and then enjoy some Cavs basketball. Talk to you soon.